So I will be looking today at Psalm 29, and you do not have that in your Bibles before you because you don't have Bibles before you, but it is printed in your order of worship. Okay, so as you see your bulletin there, there is a printing that has today's psalm in it. And also along with that then, as you open your bulletin, you will see that we have printed in there words to the Belgic Confession that I'll be looking at, Article 2 of that. So no slides on a screen behind me today. We've tried to provide those things in front of you in your hands that you've got to work with there. So you see those things. Thank you. That I'll be making reference to that. So we have, the series that I've been doing has been a series on prayer. And following prayer, we've been looking at the Bible. Those things working together, the Word of God before us and our time in communion with God through prayer. So in looking at this series on Scripture, I'm going to take a direction today that talks about a book that reveals God. And we've been looking at the Bible as that book that reveals God. But in our confessions, the Belgic Confession in particular, there is mention of another book. And this is by way of maybe poetic comparison, because it's not actually a literal book, but I have it printed in the sermon notes section of your bulletin. Look at what Article 2 of the Belgic Confession says about the way God reveals himself. Here's what it says. We know God by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe. Since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creation, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God. God's eternal power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:20. All these things are enough to convict humans and to leave them without excuse. Second, God makes himself known to us more clearly by his holy and divine word, as much as we need in this life, for God's glory and for our salvation. Those things then point us towards, what we sort of have been looking at in our series that we've been working with, that God reveals himself through Scripture, through his word. We see God there. But today we also see in this poetic wording of the Belgic Confession, there's another book, that the creation itself that God has made shows who God is. And I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity today, since we are gathered here outdoors in the sanctuary of this creation, to spend a few moments thinking upon that. The way that the world itself shows us something about God. There are many passages we could go to for that. I am choosing for today in particular Psalm 29. It's a Psalm of David. And it's a psalm that shows something about how God is revealed within the creation itself. David here using the image of a thunderstorm as it goes by to say that, all right? So Psalm 29, again, this is printed in your bulletin where you see the order of worship there. The words of Psalm 29, a psalm of David saying this. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Sirion like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. and all in his temple cry, "Glory." The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The ways we see God in the creation, then. David puts this one in front of us as though it's a thunderstorm, that David sees God revealed in a thunderstorm that takes place. And seeing God revealed in some way, there is an academic Bible term for that. It's called the theophany. What Psalm 29 is, it is a theophany, something that reveals or displays the work of God. And that happens in many different ways. David is using a thunderstorm for that image, and it is a somewhat familiar one for me and my family, I think because of the years that we lived in Denver, where the climate in Denver is such that in the summertime, when it's hot, the heat of the morning air that heats up as the day goes on, it rises from the valley and it hits the cool air from the mountains that are coming down. And every day in the summer, and I mean every day, somewhere between noon and 3 o'clock, there's a thunderstorm. It just pops up. I mean, it's not like a weather front that moves through. You just get these scattered thunderstorms. And it would be anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes. It wouldn't rain all day. It would just, a cloudburst would go by and a thunderstorm would happen. And we would see that every single day during the summer when we lived in Denver. The climate that David grew up in Israel, was somewhat similar. A dry, arid place like the Mountain West, and mountains around Israel, not as tall as the Rockies, but still mountains that are there. And the same thing would happen during the hot season, that the warm air of the morning would rise up then and meet the cool air coming down from the mountains. And David is describing here something that everyone who reads this poem in Israel would understand. And they would see it. They would see it regularly, that God is displayed within that. Now, we have our own ways of seeing that too, right? I mean, without being in the land of Israel, we see the ways that God is revealed within the creation. In fact, just this week, I was within a conversation with someone who was noting, right, that kind of feeling a little sorry that the last weeks of summer are going by, because how much they loved things like the sunsets over the lake and spending time there. How much they loved the things that would show God's beauty in that, when the sun goes down and the colors of any clouds that were in the sky and sunlight that just sparkles across the water. But also this same person was noting, but I'm also ready for fall, because that is a whole nother season that shows God and God at work. The fireworks that are displayed in the colors of trees around here when you get to the fall season. All of those things, a manifestation that reveals the work of God, the creativity of God, the way God holds and governs all things, things that, as I noted before, sometimes we just take for granted. We take for granted that when I go to the grocery store, there's food there to buy, without giving thought to the way that that food is grown within the creation, and God provides for that to happen through the world that he's made. Maybe those of you who have a home garden that goes on understand that a little better, right? Because now this is the time of year when you're pulling in sweet corn and tomatoes and zucchini and beans, and you're seeing all of that which started as a seed in the ground, somehow God provides everything that's needed to make that grow and produce what it does. All of that showing something of God being revealed within that. Let's take a look at what this works through the psalm then, right? How David notes this in particular. So, I mean, you'll see the way the psalm is laid out in your bulletin, in your order of worship, that it has three sections. There are two verses as an introduction. There are two verses way at the end as a conclusion. And all these seven verses in the middle are one section. And it thematically seems to make sense that, all right, there's an introduction at the beginning. All seven of the verses in the middle talk about the thunderstorm. Right, that is the obvious theme in the middle section. And then there is a response in the last two verses at the end. Look at the way that one lays out. It starts in those first two verses with that introduction, repeating the word ascribe. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship him. Ascribe, that is the Hebrew word yahav. And it more often is translated in English in our Bibles as to give or to bring or to offer. It's an action word. It's not ascribe as in, you know, I'm just going to nod my head and agree, right? Give some kind of mental assent to what is being said. But there's action that's taken, a call to action. And in particular, a call to worship as that action that takes place there. A call to worship the Lord. It is striking how often the name of the Lord shows up in this psalm as you look at that. The name of God is everywhere, in every single verse, except verse 6. But around that, multiple times, the name of the Lord. And it is a reference here in the Hebrew. It is the actual divine name of God, Yahweh. That is, it is a call to worship to Yahweh before us. And that call to worship that we see right out of the gate there in verse 1 is a call to what we have in our Bible says, the heavenly beings. This is an interesting one. If you have other translations of the Bible, it may say the mighty ones. And wondering, okay, is that a reference to angels? Those who God has created that way? And in the context of the Old Testament, that would have been assumed. That God is the majestic creator over all. And even the heavenly beings, the angels, are called to bring worship and glory to God. Heavenly beings, the actual Hebrew term there is Bene Elim. And Bene Elim literally translates into English as children of God. Children of God. Now, in the Old Testament setting, that would have been a reference to the higher angelic beings, considered as children of God. It really is not until we get to the New Testament that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, Our Father. That when we get to the New Testament in the Gospels now for the first time, we are included as a part of that family to be called children of God. The Apostle John even says so in the first chapter of John's Gospel, that for those who believe and call on him, that he gave the right to be called children of God, a new thing, that now you and I are included in this introduction, the way it comes before us. Through Christ, we are a part of this worshiping congregation in all of creation that comes before God to bring and declare glory before him. It comes that way. Then the middle section. Now, it's just talking about this thunderstorm that takes place there. But it's rather vivid language for the kind of thunderstorm that we're talking about here. And all of that language is revealing what the voice of God sounds like, right? A representation or manifestation that reveals the work of the Creator. And all of those verses do that until the very last phrase of verse 9. The very last phrase of verse 9 is the only place in the psalm where you see a response. Right? The whole thing is about how God is revealed. All of the psalm is about how God is revealed, except for one line at the end of verse 9, which says, "And in his temple all cry glory." The only response, but the necessary one. Glory. That's a Hebrew word there too. The Hebrew word is kavod, and it literally in English means heavy, weighty. It's a reference to something that is so large, so momentous, that you cannot ignore it. You can't get around it. You can't brush it aside. You see it. You feel it. You have to confront it. You have to deal with it. You cannot overcome it. That is the Hebrew understanding of glory. That God is glorious that way. David then puts that in language that shows how that shows up in a thunderstorm. Now, you know what? I know that sometimes maybe we experience thunderstorms in ways where, you know, it's in the distance. You know how that is sometimes? You hear that little sound and you think to yourself, wait a minute. Was that just thunder that I heard off somewhere? Right? A faint rumble or something? Or, I mean, a flash in the sky where you wonder, okay, was there lightning somewhere? And maybe I missed it. Maybe I didn't see it. That is not what David is talking about here, is it? Not one bit. Look at the language David gives to this. No, I mean, this is the kind of thunderstorm that shakes trees and knocks things over. Not reference here to a kind of storm that would result in fear. That's not David's point, right? It's not that this is destruction. You better be afraid of God. No, the point of David is, with the reference to crying glory, is God is revealed and we cannot help but see it. It's that kind of revelation. You know what that kind of thunderstorm is like too, right? I mean, the kind where the flash of the lightning and the sound of the thunder are right on top of each other, you know? Right? You see that flash and you know right away that was lightning. And it's the kind of thunder where, okay, you don't just hear it, you feel it. You know that kind? Everything in the house kind of rattles a little bit because you feel it like that. That's what David is talking about, because that's what glory is, kavod. You don't have to ask anyone, hey, was there just thunder? Did I just see lightning? Everyone knows it. You cannot help but not know it. That is what David is talking about when God shows up in the creation. That it's not a question of, is he there or is he not? Did I see that or did I not see that? Did I hear that or did I not hear that? Did I feel that or not feel that? It is unmistakable in the language David gives. Yes, you did see it. You did hear it. You did feel it. There is no mistaking it. That is kavod, glory, that shows up in the way God reveals himself. The Word of God confirms this, as we've been talking in our series that deals with the Bible, that the Bible itself confirms this for us. And our doctrine confirms this too, as we saw in the words of Belgic Confession that are before us, that this is something that gives us unmistakable evidence of God being revealed in his creation. And we see that as something that reveals who the Creator is, not to be mistaken with the Creator himself. that's one of the distinctions that David is sort of playing with in this psalm, that we do not worship the creation. We don't worship the created things, but we worship the Creator who is behind it, who made it, who brought it into being. In those ways, seeing how God has made this known. In the Belgic Confession that we read when we started this, it makes reference right in the confession to Romans 1. Here's what it says about that in Romans 1. I'll read a few of those verses that talk about this. Paul says this in Romans 1. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Paul guides us in that instruction as well, that the creation which reveals who God is not the thing that we worship, but the creation reveals the one who we do worship. As we see God revealed in his creation around him, we do that then in ways that acknowledge who God is. But David also provides that in the conclusion of this psalm, right? So how does that response go for us, that we all, with the rest of creation, declare and cry glory in ways that show the majesty of God? But look at the last two verses of this psalm that conclude, that wrap this up. Here's how it all lands. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. David's conclusion of the matter. He sees God revealed in ways that cannot be mistaken. And his conclusion about that is that the Lord is king. The Lord gives strength. The Lord blesses with peace. Those things. Our God who is the king. Our God who gives strength. Our God who blesses with peace. A little more Hebrew in here. The word strength there, it's the Hebrew word oz, and it doesn't mean strength as in power. Elsewhere in the Bible, that word is translated as protection or refuge. That the strength that God gives is a strength of protection, which is a striking counterbalance to the rest of the psalm, right? A violent thunderstorm that is revealed, but David's conclusion of the matter is that even within that, God protects. That God provides the refuge. That God is the one who blesses his people with peace. Peace. I've talked about that word often, the Hebrew word shalom. Peace being something that is a provision of thriving and flourishing and well-being. David here making that connection that God provides that even through the creation itself. That the creation thrives and flourishes because God is the one who blesses it to thrive and to flourish for our well-being. All of those things before us then. I was at a conference the last couple of days with people who gathered from all over North America. And in some of the breakout sessions, one of the exercises they gave just to help us get to know each other was, I mean, because we're from all different parts of the country and Canada. So it was, tell us something you like to do in the place where you live. And hands down around the room, all the examples were something outdoors. All of them. So for Midwest people, people who are around here, every single one of them seemed to make reference to a lake. I mean, it's summertime now, so that's what's in front of us, right? But for those who came from out west, they referenced things like mountains. For those Canadians who came down from up north, they talked about woods and wildlife. One of the guys in the group that I was from came from Buffalo, New York. He said, you know what? Niagara Falls. I go there and I see the rushing water and I hear that and I see the power of God displayed in that. Every single one around the room, when we talked about what do we do when we're not working, that tells us about where we're from, gave a reference to something that shows up in the creation around us. You cannot help but be drawn to that. And David reminds us we cannot help but be drawn to that in ways that show us the Creator who is behind it and sustains it and gives it for our blessing. So, in the week ahead, right? I mean, whatever you have left to enjoy of your summer, enjoy God revealed in the creation of that. In the weeks ahead, as it turns to the autumn season and trees start to change color and we see the beauty of that, let it be the manifestation of God revealed as we see that. That we not only read the book of the Bible to see God revealed, but we see it confirmed and validated in our everyday life around us, in the world we live in. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that comes to us through what you revealed for others to write down, through these words of David in Psalm 29. We thank you for that, that it shows us through the eyes of a psalmist how you are displayed in creation. God, we thank you for that other word, the one that shows up in our confessions, the one that we see that displays who you are, confirms, validates all that you've said in the Bible about who you are. And Lord, we pray that, in the day ahead, the days ahead, the weeks ahead, that we would find the space to give pause in our lives and recognize it. That it would validate that you are the Creator, and that we would, along with the rest of creation, give glory, bring glory to you for that. Lord, may you be honored by the worship we bring. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.